Thank you, Dale and Rachel, for reading scripture. And thank you, Lori, for that great introduction to the series we're doing. And thank you, Stevers. You'll understand why I thank him later. But thank you. For those of you who missed our time together last Sunday celebrating Easter, Chris brought us what felt like to me an important Easter message that was very true to our time and place. I'd point you to the audio file, but we weren't in this space, so if you would like to read Chris's sermon, I know he'd be willing to share it with you. What I share today flows very much from our time together last week on Easter Sunday and his words. For those who are present, consider this a continuation or my response or a yes and. One of the last responses during sharing time last week came from Norm, who said something to the effect that because of Easter, because of the risen Christ, we need not fear the horrors and hatred of this world. And yet not fearing is something he has yet to feel or attain. That also felt very true for where we find ourselves in time and place. There is so much uncertainty, so much hatred, so much exclusion and violence of all kinds happening in so many different settings these days. It can feel impossible not to worry, not to fear where things are headed. And so I would encourage us to consider Easter, not from our perspective 2 millennia later, but from Christ's nearest followers and his disciples. They experienced Easter in ways that I think would feel very true and resonate with us here today. Where is the body? Who took it? Are the authorities coming for us too? What do I say or not say? Is it okay to go out? If I do go out and I'm asked about who I am, is it safe to say where I'm from, why I'm here? The traditional scripture that's read this Sunday is the Doubting Thomas passage. I had us read the first paragraph from that story because it gives us a sense of the tone and mood of the disciples and those followers. And still, Christ comes and meets them behind closed doors, and brings them the Holy Spirit. While it doesn't take away the fear, I do find comfort in knowing this. The same holds true of our spiritual ancestors in the Anabaptist tradition. The Anabaptist movement didn't come about in a safe, stable environment. There had just been a peasant revolt. There was unrest in the church, and when reformers like Luther and Zwingli tried to reform Catholic traditions while still keeping some of the more profitable power structures in place, others felt it didn't go far enough. They were labeled Anabaptists, meaning re-baptizers, because they were baptizing adults as adults. They didn't consider it re-baptism, since they felt that baptism at birth wasn't baptism at all. Still, the movement spread, despite it being considered an act of sedition both by the Catholic Church and the Reformers. Those early Anabaptists were a lot more like us, a small ragtag group meeting in a space that doesn't belong to us, than a staid, large congregation in its own building. Those early Anabaptists met in homes, or when it was too dangerous to be heard, in caves. They gathered to read scripture, study, share ideas, and to worship together. And they were living out their convictions. And I'm sure they often felt fear. The movement spread to the Netherlands, where it reached a Catholic priest named Menno Simons. Menno found this new way of thinking compelling and began to preach and teach Anabaptist values. Those that subscribed to Menno's teachings were labeled Mennonites. Not by themselves, but by those that found this new Christianity anarchic, dangerous, heretical. And so with these parallel feelings and concerns swirling around us, now feels like an excellent time to look back on our own spiritual ancestral roots. 500 years of Anabaptism later, we still feel out of step with the world around us. In the background information for this Sunday in the Anabaptist at 500 series, they give a brief, helpful framework to Anabaptism based in Palmer Becker's book, Anabaptist Essentials. It summarizes this history and theology of the tradition as three core values. Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. So now feels like a good time to look at our spiritual heritage, and as we do so, I think it's important to recognize that most of what I've already shared, most of what we believe, most of what who we as humans are, is wrapped up in story. Stories are what help us make sense of our world and our place in it. We learn by telling stories. They can share truths in ways that statements simply cannot. Jesus preached in stories. It's why I asked for us to hear the Mark passage today about the mustard seed. Christ spoke in parables. As much as they were able to hear, he spoke only in parables, then explained everything to his disciples when they were alone. Stories are an invitation. Stories make us think and dream. They make us wonder where we would fit in the story, or why the story unfolds a certain way, or what elements are held within the story and what are omitted. We are at a time when we would do well to consider the stories of the early church and the early Anabaptist movement and where we are today. Which leads us to the question, what are our stories? What is our story? I've shared personal stories from my faith journey on many occasions, some easier to share than others. Today, I'd like to share a narrative with you about us. And I invite you to take from it what resonates with you and push back on what does not. Because just because something might be true to me, and maybe even to others, might not necessarily hold the same weight or truth for you, and that's okay. But I'm going to share a narrative based on what I've experienced and seen since I began attending Milwaukee Mennonite just over a decade ago, and then I'm going to share where I hope the story might lead us next and in the years to come. Rachel, Daniel, John, and I came to Milwaukee in the winter of 2015, and you all made an impressive first impression on us. That previous December, we had purchased our home but hadn't moved in yet, and you stocked the fridge and put a meal in the freezer before we got there. That first Lent of 2015, we held a Good Friday service at our house, and being Good Friday, at the end of the service, we invited those gathered to leave in silence whenever they were ready. We were stunned when everybody started putting things away and cleaning up in silence. By the time everybody had left, we didn't have any more work to do. Everything had been put away in complete silence. It was a powerful moment for us that Rachel and I have used on many occasions to describe the spirit and ethos of our church family, being a small, lay-led congregation. Everybody pitches in and helps do the work, and that makes the work light and easier. Well, sometimes. Our boys grew, and people came and left, and in a blink of an eye, almost 5 years had passed. In 2018, I gave a sermon in which I invited listening to your stories, wanting to hear your faith experiences. In the months and years to come, many of you shared with me, and I was inspired and humbled by that experience. So much so that the following year, I suggested doing a year-long documentation process. formally interviewing and recording our church family on the history of the congregation, where we were in that moment, and finally where we hoped to go. And as I think you most of you know, we got two-thirds of the way through that process before COVID hit, and it seemed ill-fitting to try and consider our future when so much was unknown. And that unknown, liminal future has continued on. Based on my conversations in 2019, the issue of a potential move and worship location seemed like something that might be tenable. But that quickly dissipated as a potential move to Cross Lutheran became, in many ways, a lightning rod. The complexity of 5 years of hard conversations, hard experiences, and hard feelings can't be summed up in brief. But I've experienced it in many ways, being a tension between all that we were unequipped, unable, or unwilling to address about what we were going through and how we'd changed, and a sincere desire to respond in meaningful, practical ways to the forces at work in our world. Since the spring of 2020, many individuals have moved away or left. And as I've mentioned before, that's not a theme that's distinctive to us, but one that holds true across the Mennonite Church and in American faith communities more broadly. Numbers are down. Attendance is down. Participation is down. In 2019, as I listened to us share our narratives about who we were and where we were, I noticed a bit of a disconnect between who we said we were and what we seemed to actually be in practice. And COVID made that difference way more stark. We had, and maybe some of us still have, high aspirations for what we can do, who we can be, and the amount of work and energy we have to give, what we can expect from each other. And while I'm all for positive thinking, time and time again, I felt like I heard a lot of people wishing and wanting others to do more, others to pull their weight, others to pick up the pieces, because their plate was already full. And all this, along with the incredibly destructive and hateful broader forces at work in our world today, has left us feeling diminished, smaller, moving from a mentality of thriving to surviving. I don't want to sugarcoat what we've gone through, and I don't want to suggest that now we've come through and we're on the other side and now everything is going to be okay. Let's be clear. We will never be the congregation we were when us Aish Scots joined you 10 years ago. And that's okay. Let's not try and be something we're not. Let's let go of expectations that do nothing but hold us back and make us feel bad about what we're not. There's no good in that. That's not going to help anybody or anything, is it? 500 years ago, our spiritual ancestors were hiding from authorities, meeting in caves. They didn't know what was going to come next. They didn't have a clear vision for the future of the church. But they knew who they were following, Jesus Christ. And they lived their lives with purpose and conviction together. We can do that. The theme of this Anabaptism at 500 series is renewal. How do we need to be renewed? How do we need to be renewed in Christ? How do we need to be renewed in the love of God? How do we need to be renewed in our own church family? How do we encourage each other, support each other, love each other in ways that are true to who we are and what we have to offer each other? And also, how can we be renewed in our mission to the communities we find ourselves a part of, both communally and as individuals? Obviously, these are not small questions, and they'll take time and energy. But I think that this kind of focus can help us give us purpose and clarity, can help us feel filled up instead of worn down. It can give us momentum for the work ahead as we discover who we are to be and what we are to do.
Hey, your narrative needs some revising, my friend.
Lenny?
Yeah. I've been listening to you yapping on the Zoomaloom thing, and as usual, your message is not unlike your bread.
Oh?
Half-baked and close to inedible.
I don't know if it was that bad.
Your narrative omitted a really important part of the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah?
Me!
Oh. Well, I wasn't really getting into details of people or puppets.
Hey, Tuttle.
What? What? You're on the sunroof?
Of course not. I'm watching the service from your iPad in the kitchen.
What is Tuttle P. Fink doing behind you?
Looks like he's getting a spindrift. T is a sucker for carbonated beverages.
What is going on?
Oh. You have no clue what goes on over here when you ain't around. No clue.
Apparently.
Which actually is a point I was making.
What's that?
Whatever the story is you share, you're always gonna be leaving stuff out.
Well, that's true. That's the nature of story, right?
And it's important to recognize that.
Well, absolutely. It's important to consider who and what is being left out. Yes.
Like, not including a certain rat puppet in your proceedings today?
Well, fortunately for you, you somehow managed anyway,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, but most entities omitted ain't gonna be as brash and vocal as me.
True.
Also, with your little, not-so-little narrative about Milwaukee Mennonite there...
Yeah?
You talked a lot about renewal and encouraging and supporting each other.
Right.
But I didn't hear you say nothing about the Spirit.
Oh.
You know, the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, no, you're right, Lenny. I didn't name the Spirit, but it is
definitely a huge part. Well, I just wanted to name where I saw the Holy Spirit at work at MMC.
Oh, yeah?
Specifically, I see it in how the congregation has accepted me.
You?
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
No, I'm just a little surprised. I guess I shouldn't be.
I've thought of three ways that I see the Spirit at MMC, specifically in how yous have accepted me.
Okay.
One, I ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And I can say things that aren't always, what some might consider appropriate for sermon material. Sometimes I'll ask feeling-type questions that could make some people feel uncomfortable. Sometimes I point out things that don't feel right to me or that make me feel uncomfortable. And yous all seem to appreciate that, or at least you don't complain.
Yeah.
The big thing is you're okay with questioning and sometimes subverting authority. That ain't true of a lot of groups.
That is true.
I know. Oh. Two, you accept a lot of different ways of thinking and being and doing to the point that you'll even take advice from a rat puppet. That openness ain't found everywhere, and it's a gift.
Wow, Lenny, are you getting sentimental on me?
Zip it, Baldy. I ain't saying this again, so don't be interrupting me like that.
Sorry.
And see, yous don't take yourselves too seriously. Again, Exhibit A.
What are you pointing at?
Me!
Oh.
I'm Exhibit A.
Gotcha.
Again, if you're willing to take advice from a rat puppet, you can't be taking yourself too seriously. That's a very good thing, I think.
Amen.
Hey, K-Frog.
Yeah, Lenny?
Hit the music.
You got it.
Wait, what's happening now?
And so, on this second Sunday of Easter, on this first Sunday as you consider Anabaptism at 500 and the theme of renewal, consider this from your friendly neighborhood rat puppet. You have made Jesus the center of your faith, and you read the scripture through the lens of Jesus, and you do so listening to each other's perspectives and opinions.
Oh, I don't see how Christ can be the Lamb of God and the Good Shepherd.
Well, I think maybe you're taking it a little too literally.
Well, I just don't know what to think. I mean, what a calamity.
You've put community in the center of your life.
Let's just take this easy, okay?
Committed to each other, both in grace for each other and love for God, by encountering life with each other.
Wait. What are you doing? I don't think we can...
Supporting each other through the ups and downs of life, and considering scripture, we build a better understanding of what God is like and how God is present among us.
Maybe we better just stick to coffee.
And you've put reconciliation at the center of your work. That can be personal, interpersonal, communal, social, and with all creation. And this work, heavily occupied by the Holy Spirit, is work that is constant dying to self, a constant assessment and reassessment, considering what it means to seek right relationships in this moment with ourselves, others, and Triune God. Sure, you're a weirdo. Sure, yous are gonna keep messing things up. That's what you humans are real good at doing. But you're also creative and hilarious and talented and collaborative and insightful and really good at asking questions and asking more questions and worshiping. Yous fools for Christ really like to worship and singing stuff, and placing Christ at the center of all that, with grace and love for each other and God, you've got the power to transform your hearts, your church family, your world. I'm Lenten Lenny, coming to you on the second Sunday of Easter, and I approve this message.
That's it for the song, Lenny.
Yeah, that's cool. I think it timed out okay. Hey, Chrome Dome!
You talking to me?
Yeah. You got it from here?
I mean, I was doing this run before you interrupted, so...
I gotta run. Patty got his leg stuck in the vacuum cleaner again.
What?
No, don't turn it on! Alas, poor leg. No, Totoro! You gotta get the cord off from around his neck!
Well, anyway, there's Lenny's narrative. What's yours? I look forward to hearing your stories in the weeks and months and years to come. Anytime you want to talk, I want to listen. And as we consider our stories, consider this. What are the stories we need to remember? What are the stories we need to hold on to? What are the stories that we need to remember with care? What are the stories that we need to avoid because of how they limit or exclude or just unhelpful? What are the stories that provide cautionary tales for us? And what are the stories that we want to live into? whatever they are, and wherever they take us. I look forward to writing those stories with you.